5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff!
Today is Monday, April 4th, and this is the Flyover Conservative Show. Woo!
Oregon Patriots came out in droves this past weekend as the pajama-wearing middle schoolers, otherwise known as Antifa, only lasted a few hours.
We're in a fast-changing world, and even Bill Bauer is having a hard time keeping up. Could it be possible that our own government would pay farmers to not plant crops when we are in a potential food shortage?
We have a bombshell video for you tonight of a global elitist exposing a new world programmable currency coming your way.
Ooh.
All of this and a little more tonight on the Flyover Conservative Show.
Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values. Hello and welcome. We are so glad that you joined us tonight. If you're new to Flyover Conservatives, our slogan is
wake up, speak up,
and show up. We all wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country, and we here at Flyover are trying to inspire 80 million people to do one thing every single day to save their own country.
Absolutely, because it feels better to take personal responsibility, to be like, hey, what can I do? Because it's a powerless feeling when you sit back and think, you know, I want DC to change.
Yep.
I want the world to change. But when you can change your world, you kind of start making some progress. You feel better. And we're seeing that all over the place, everywhere we go, every day. And this show is packed full of stuff, of regular people doing some irregular things where they are, and it's making a big difference. That's exciting.
I love the memes that you get on Telegram.
Oh,
it's pretty cool. People sharing information, sharing things. It's really fun to see patriots that are really involved, but also at the same time, they like,
it's funny.
Have a sense of humor.
And it's true. There's usually some truth to it. So I love you guys send us stuff on Telegram or whatever other platform. I'll start with a couple today because it kind of captures where we're at, you know, in this moment. This one went out. It's not necessarily funny, but it is kind of, when you look at it, like January 6th is still being treated like the worst day in the history of the world. We had CNN with buildings burning behind him saying it's a peaceful protest in the summer of 2020.
Crazy.
You had entire police stations burned to the ground. A police station. The police all left. They burned it to the ground, and nothing to come from it. But you know, here we got, they stormed the Capitol, but stay inside the velvet ropes. There's some interesting shots there. There's more narrative there that does not match the story than you can imagine. Of course, Disney's been in the news a lot over the last few days. Disney's pushing back on the, you know, the Don't Say Gay bill and stuff. We have a photo here of the 2020 Disney princess lineup. Here, coming out soon. 2022, sorry. I was off on my ears. 2020 would look different. This is the new 2022 Disney princess lineup. Obviously, it's not. I don't know exactly what this cast of characters is up to. Probably something that's breaking several of the Ten Commandments all in one swoop.
That is for sure.
All right. Unthink that if you can.
No kidding. You know, it was so much fun to be with patriots in Oregon.
Good stuff happening.
So many patriots come out. I mean, 5,000 that were inside of that tent at the event.
Packed.
It was packed. And they were so excited. Coming to our meet and greet, we had
high fives.
Hundreds of people, somewhere between 500, 600 people that showed up at the meet and greet. Just getting to meet you all. It was really exciting to hear your stories, to hear about what you're doing in your own communities. Talk to a state rep that's talking about election integrity in the area. It's exciting.
I don't know, like people running for Congress, they're running for state senate, running for all kinds of different positions in the area, and then just poll watchers and all kinds of, but people are coming to these events now knowing I have to do something to make a difference.
That's
I have to do something to help out. They're aware of what's going on nationally, but they're like, you know what? I've got to fix Oregon.
Yep.
It was the fastest sellout of any event I think they've had so far. South Carolina might be the next one.
A few times because they had to change venues because what was going on in the area. First of all, they couldn't do it in one area. They moved it to someplace else. Couldn't do it there. Ended up moving it to a baseball, what was that called? Like stadium, but it was their parking lot that they created this big tent in. And it was interesting. When we were trying to get there, the lines were so long. We were trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So we ended up actually going kind of a back way and through a parking lot. And when we got to this parking lot of Target, we were looking around thinking, where are all the cars? There's no cars here at a Target in the middle of the day, or actually the morning. What the heck is going on here?
So here we'll play a clip of that for you, as well as some pictures from this event. But I want to do a little commentary after that on what are some of our policies doing and how they're impacting areas, some different than others. There's a reason why people are leaving blue states and going to red states. Mm-hmm. And not that the red states are perfect, because there's as much Wokey McWokestein stuff going on in some of the red states like Missouri and Texas and Oklahoma as well. But look at the Target parking lot. I did a quick recording there on Saturday.
Show you how crazy things are. We're in basically Salem, Oregon, outside of Portland. Reawaken America event. This is Target. That's our old rental Jeep. This parking lot is completely 100% empty because it's six blocks from where this Reawaken America event's happening. It's in a parking lot that's for a baseball stadium, and they built a tent there, 5,000 people. But because of the threats of Antifa, everything's shut down in here. You can't probably see if there's businesses all back here. There's like a Kay's Jewelers, put boards up, plywood on all the windows because they're so afraid. It's like Target here. They've bowed so much to this craziness. They're like, oh, there's something conservative happening. All the babies will lose their minds and Antifa will loot our store and burn everything down in rage unless we bow to their control. It's like this. There's an In-N-Out back here. In-N-Out is open, but everything else and all of it. This is a beautiful little area here. It's all landscaped, and of course it's Oregon, so everything grows and it looks amazing. It is baffling to me. And there's like 100 middle schoolers in their pajamas just on a little sidewalk area, you know, kind of where you got to go to get to the parking lot to go to the event. And that's it. They were there yesterday morning. You know, there's a lot of gay pride flags, a couple of Ukrainian flags. They yell F-bombs and obscenities to people that walk by, but it's kind of low energy. You can tell it's not real organic. And that was about it. By the afternoon, they had all gone home. We held a meet and greet last night. There's probably, I don't know, several hundred, 500-600 people that came to the hotel where we had our meet and greet. And people were scared, like, oh, is Antifa going to be here and stuff? There wasn't one person. It was nothing. So I think they're only really outraged and can get something going when they're heavily funded. When they try to organically do it, nobody really shows up. But the town, this is Salem, this isn't even Portland, they're so programmed to be terrified of these bullies and nobody stands up. And they just, I mean, when you can shut down a Target with 100 middle schoolers in black pajamas, it's crazy how much power they have over these people. Nuts.
Wow. What is your thought on that? When a community like that around the baseball diamond where we were having our meeting had to shut down the businesses because they were concerned about Antifa.
Well, that's the capital of the state of Oregon. And Oregon, like a lot of states, it's the same demographics as the state of Kansas. The population's almost identical, and you know, it's agricultural mm-hmm. primarily, but they have, you know, really one predominant city, Portland, you know, that controls the voting for the whole deal. But you know, when we had Laura Logan on, I think last week, she talked about she lives in a county that's 95% Republican, mm-hmm. but their mayor, Democrat, their city council, Democrats. Yeah. And somehow they're activists and they get in these positions. But when I see what goes on there, Oregon reminds me a lot of, especially when you get in the city, Portland. Portland specifically. Okay. When you're in Portland, it reminds me of a family that has teenagers that they've never engaged in relationship with. They never have dinner together. The parents never really spent time with them, but they just throw money at them. Mm. And if you ever met anybody like that they didn't really get, you know, raised. And so they're angry. And what there is, they have holes in their heart where they need hugs or maybe a couple of spankings, mm-hmm. Some discipline and structure, but they didn't get it. They have so much prosperity there. They got Nike and companies and everything grows well. It's such a prosperous place. But they've not handled it well. They've not stewarded it well. And their good times have created really bad times. Mm. They have giant bike lanes going down the street. There's also poop and homelessness everywhere. And nobody goes in the downtown area. You know, so it's like teenagers are like, gosh, and they like flip the tables. I hate you, mom and dad. And, mm-hmm. But give me some money. I need pizza. All right. You suck. Thank you. I'm out of here. Except no thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably no thank you there.
It's just that kind of vibe. Now, with the Antifas, I wanted to go talk to them. We've got a couple of pictures here we can show you that we just mm-hmm. took shots of from, you know, across the street as we're walking to the event. There's not a whole lot there. There might have only been 40 or 50. I don't know. I said 100, but they're just yelling F you to people as they come by and stuff. And they kind of try to pull in any marginalized group. They got this flag. I'm not sure exactly what it represents. I think it just represents anybody who's kind of PO'd about anything, then you're part of our tribe. I don't know exactly because it keeps expanding and getting bigger and so forth. Mm-hmm. But they black out their faces or wear goggles and you can't see them. And they try to create this intimidation where they've burned down stuff for 100 days in a row. They shot fireworks at the courthouse there in Portland. And nobody does anything.
Right.
You know, they should have sent in a bunch of police and just shut it down. But they don't. They let it keep going. And then now, at the threat of them doing something, everybody shuts down. It's like having a five-year-old that the parents don't want him to lose his temper, so they give him everything he wants.
Yeah.
I don't want him to throw a fit in the store. Here, have an iPad and an iPhone, both if you want.
So where do we go from here?
Well, there's going to have to come a breaking point where people are going to choose, do you want rule of law or do you want, you know, mob rule? Mm-hmm. You know, this leftist anarchy that hates everything that represents responsibility, mm-hmm. personal responsibility mm-hmm. and control of yourself. And the only thing that's going to change that is, again, I talk a lot on here about there's two groups of people, one that's okay with, you know, an authoritarian mm-hmm. regime and ones that are not. And what these guys are doing, they're trying to usurp the leadership of our Constitution, mm-hmm. of all of our laws and all of our structure, and do it by mob rule. And they've taken over their cities. Yep. They've taken over the politics of some of these towns, and they have just enough people there. They don't enforce the law. Mm-hmm. They defunded the police mm-hmm. and they let groups like that run, and they've taken something that's so like even Seattle, mm-hmm. such a beautiful town, all the money you can want in the whole world, and it's just overrun with homelessness. When you pull into Portland, it's just homeless tents everywhere.
Mm-hmm. When you fly in,
when you fly in, when you're driving in, when you're anywhere around there,
that's exactly right. You know, it's interesting too because I really do believe that liberals are starting to change their thought on what's going on right now with our government, what's going on with our country, and you're going to see that when we come back with Dave Rubin talking about Bill Maurer. So check this out.
Hello, everybody. It's an honor to be with you.
You know, there's nothing more important as a patriot than to be around other patriots, keeping your fire lit. That's yes. why they went to such great lengths the last 2 years to try to isolate you, keep you from going outdoors, keep you from going to the gym, closing your church down, masking your face up. They can't see your smile. It's time to come together with other patriots and make a difference.
The best place that I have found to be able to find your tribe, to hear the best of the best, is at the Reawaken America event. You're going to hear people like Clay Clark,
Scott McKay, Mel Kay,
Mike Lindell,
Eric Trump,
Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Northrup,
General Michael Flynn, and the gym owner from New Jersey, Ian Smith.
So text the word events to 40509. Again, the word is events to 40509.
You could name your own price for these events. Every month, we're in a different city, in a different state, waking people up. There's no place better to do it than a Reawaken America event.
That makes me so excited.
They're fun.
They are so much fun. You can also text this number, 918-851-0102.
It's like a secret intel thing right there.
It is. 918-851-0102. Let them know you're with Flyover, and they will get back with you with tickets as well. So that's kind of the secret number.
Tell them Stacy sent you.
918-851-0102.
Stacy told me to text you. It's so much fun, though. It does recharge your batteries, mm-hmm. being around like-minded yep. people. Have you ever been around, spent a lot of time around, you know, people that disagree with everything you think, that undermine your stuff, that
oh, yeah. It's like, oh, it's tiring.
You're like, oh my gosh, you are just literally draining every ounce of life out of me just being near. Like, this is the opposite.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's like high fives, and you meet people on the line. You're like, oh, you're just friends everywhere. It's an exciting place to be. You want to be there. So
it is a blast. Let's talk a little bit about Bill Maurer and yeah. Dave Rubin and kind of what's going on
we
there.
We keep talking a lot about if aliens attacked our country, we would all unify against the aliens. And it'd be interesting, like the stuff that you would have different would mm-hmm. fall away because you have this common enemy, the deck's being shuffled. And it's weird kind of who's ending up in this foxhole with you. There's people like Joe Rogan who mm-hmm. wouldn't have been historically conservative in any way, but he values free speech and yep. the Second Amendment and loves our country. And so it's like, okay, it's interesting. Bill Maurer is somebody I've watched for years. You know, Dave Rubin does an introduction of him here in a second, but he's one that's always driven me crazy because like from a place of spirituality, we would mm-hmm. be on a far different place. But yet, even without that lens, he's seeing things that are happening around him with more clarity than maybe your mm-hmm. pastor does. He's speaking up for free speech and against wokeness in a way that maybe somebody who I would really agree with on a lot of other areas is not.
Right.
And so it's really, you really have to take personal ownership of what are you thinking? What are you mm-hmm. seeing? What lens are you looking at things through? And how are you processing this? Because you can't just say, I agree with this guy. I agree with this guy. because there's people that you might not have agreed with on a lot of stuff in the past that now you are, and the left is kind of eating itself in some ways because mm-hmm. you can't be left enough. You can't provide enough wood to satisfy a fire.
Right.
A forest fire in California cannot provide enough trees to satisfy the rage mm-hmm. of the fire. And that's what wokeness does. That's what the left is doing. And that's what they're kind of grappling with is, hey, I was the far edge of the left 5 minutes ago, mm-hmm. and now they've left me over here, and I still have these ideals. How am I going to handle that? In 2015, I remember where I was when I saw this on YouTube, this clip that you're about to see of Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work that into this in a really unique way. And I want you to process this. Look at this one specific issue the left wants to only view people in groups. Mm-hmm. What you think as an individual is irrelevant. So right. watch that and play. And when you try to point out an idea mm-hmm. of a group and to extract it from the group, they have a rage that comes up that's hard to grapple with. And I remember when I saw Ben Affleck in this clip, I was like, I think there's a portion of the world that sees things way different than I do. Mm-hmm. And this brought it to focus.
Yeah, so check out this clip.
So Bill Maher, real quick, I always put the caveat up top when I talk about Bill Maher. I like Bill Maher. Bill Maher, especially when I was more, say, on the liberal side of things or on the left side of things, was probably the biggest influence that I had as a TV personality, as a liberal, in terms of the ideas I cared about, in terms of who I agreed with. He has probably 20 HBO specials. I'd say 15 of them are phenomenal, and probably 5 of them are in the top 10 of HBO specials of all time. But Bill Maher has not gotten to the end of the road of where liberalism has led. And he's struggling with that, I think. And when I've done these videos, my hope is that I can encourage him to see the end of the road. And I know his producers watch this show. And supposedly I'm going to be on Bill Maher's podcast, which is launching this week. I'm supposed to be on in the next couple of weeks or something. I'd be happy to have this conversation on his show, which apparently is going to be like a 2-hour long form podcast, or we can do it. We can do it there. We can do it here, whatever it is. Anyway, so Bill Maher went on Ben Shapiro's show talking about what has happened to the left, what has happened to the progressives and the woke who have sort of destroyed liberalism. And I think most of you are probably going to agree with everything he said here, but you'll see the transition from what we just talked about.
But when you say woke, you know, it's become, and I make fun of it too, because it's become an eye roll in many ways. If woke, I assume at a certain moment, and it wasn't that long ago before we didn't have the term. I only heard it, I don't know what, it was 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago at most when we heard the term woke, and it was like alert to injustice. I'm like, okay, I'm down with that. I always have been. I hope people still understand that about me. But yes, it became sort of a byword for a lot of this goofy stuff. That's what I'm always railing against. That's why, like, they play me on Fox News now.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because you went from the guy who was...
I haven't changed at all. My politics hasn't changed. They've changed. People say to me sometimes, you know, have you changed? No. It's that 5 years ago, no one was talking about defunding the police. I never heard that phrase 5 years ago. That's not me changing. That's things changing. I'm reacting to it, as I've always been. Letting 3-year-olds decide what gender they are. This wasn't something 5 years ago. Free speech, you know, used to be a left-wing thing that we were proud and owned, and now that seems to be under attack. So again, I think I've stayed the same.
Okay, as I said, most of you who watch this show who are, let's say, conservatives or libertarians or disaffected liberals, whatever it is, you probably just watched the guy who was the thought leader of American liberalism, at least from an entertainment perspective or from a cultural perspective. You probably just watched that minute-long clip and agreed with everything he said there. These people have gone bananas. The left used to defend free speech. The ACLU was a free speech organization thought of as sort of lefty liberal. And now what I want to do, and I'm talking to you, Bill, and I'm talking to your producers, who, again, I know watch this show, when Bill says, I haven't changed, it's them who have changed. And he's talking about wokeness, and he's talking about the gender stuff, and he's talking about free speech and critical race theory and all of those things. It's like, you're right, you haven't changed, but the liberals have. There are virtually no liberals other than you and 3 or 4 other people who seem to not understand the way everything has shifted. So if you accept that everything has shifted, but you still endorse and vote for people who usher this stuff in, then you're just not making the final connection, right? You're not making the final jump that would take you to from being someone who complains about things to someone who actually stops the things from happening in the first place. Bill Maher gave Barack Obama $1 million. Obama helped usher in a lot of this woke stuff. Now, again, this isn't really a criticism as much as like an encouragement that I want these people to finally get it at the end. Bill said that, you know, a lot of this stuff wasn't happening till 3 years ago. And then he said maybe 5 years ago. I want to show you a clip. And I know many of you have seen this. And I wrote about this in Don't Burn This book. This was one of my wake up moments. I was on the left. I was still on the Young Turks Network. I was a progressive and a Bernie supporter. And I was having all of these thoughts about what the left was, what was happening on the left, meaning they were calling everybody racist and bigot and they were silencing people and shouting speakers down at colleges and everything else. And now I want to show you this clip from 2015. This is the famous Sam Harris and Bill Maher versus Ben Affleck on Real Time. And when you see the sort of hysteria from Ben Affleck, it's like there were signs that this woke, crazy, angry thing was on its way. And it was actually happening right in your studio, Bill.
You're saying if I criticize you're saying that Islamophobia is not a real thing, that if you're critical of something.
It's not a real thing when we do it.
Right.
Well, it really isn't.
I'm not denying that certain people are bigoted against Muslims as people. That's a problem.
Big of you.
But why are you so hostile about this? It's gross.
It's racist.
It's like saying you're a shifty Jew. You're not listening
to what we are saying.
You guys are saying, if you want to be liberals, believe in liberal principles,
right.
Like freedom of speech, like, you know, we are endowed by our forefathers with an inalienable right. All men are created equal.
Ben, we have to be able to criticize bad ideas.
And of course we do. Islam, no liberal doesn't want to criticize bad ideas.
But Islam at this moment is the mother load of bad ideas.
Jesus.
So we have
It is an ugly apostasy. It is one basic liberal principle.
Well, let me unpack it. Tolerance.
Let me unpack it.
But not for intolerance.
No, of course not.
Good, Bill. Right at the end. Right? Tolerance, but not for intolerance. That clip, which I know probably everyone watching this has seen, and it's been seen probably 50 million times on YouTube and other platforms. That was a wake up to people all over the world. When I started talking about that clip, and I did a breakdown of that clip of every moment of that clip on my channel from years ago when I had like 20,000 subscribers or something like that. I was getting email from people all over the world, India, Egypt, Argentina, saying, holy cow, the thing that I have been thinking about the left, the perfect example of it is Ben Affleck. They're calling them gross and racist. The clip goes on and on. You've all seen it. So there have been warning signs that something was happening, that the good liberals were on the defense, right? There's Bill Maher, there's Sam Harris, the sort of good non-woke liberals that were trying to use logic and reason, were dealing with people that were not using logic and reason, say Ben Affleck. That anger that Ben Affleck had and that over-the-top, I'm right, you're wrong, you're racist, that has leaked out everywhere into society. It started online, it made its way into some of these television shows, and now it's everywhere. It's all over college campuses, and the intolerance of the left and cancel culture, all of these things, this is the end result. It's what we've got on our streets right now.
So interesting.
I love the work those guys kind of do. I brought a tape measure here for this illustration because, you know, you look at these markers on a tape measure. And I think some of these guys here are finding like, okay, I'm at, you know, let's say we mark it at 2 feet. Well, if you're right here and the whole thing sucks into here,
wow.
you're like, where am I at now? And the thing that's happening with it is conservatives who would have found themselves at this place on the marker, mm-hmm. when everything went this way, they're compromising and making consolations on things like when does life begin and the value of family, things like education. It's gotten to be even in areas that are predominantly red. If you care about your children at all, you still mm-hmm. need to protect them from the school system and get them out. Mm-hmm. You know, homeschools have quadrupled over the last year, and there's a good reason why, and it should quadruple even more so this year. We need to abandon the school system completely. Yeah. It's a corrupt institution. So you think, oh, I, I mean, and that may sound bombastic to you, mm-hmm. and might not be up to speed on what's being taught even in small towns in Missouri, but it's a big shift. So you can't move far enough left to satisfy what these people are doing, and the group identity, and then the rage that comes from them, if you question it, is made it a big problem.
That's so true. When we come back, we're going to talk about food shortages and how the government is actually paying farmers to not plant crops. Are you having a hard time sleeping at night thinking, what are you going to do about your finances?
If you went back to 1920 and you had a $20 bill and you had 1 ounce of gold, you could go into a men's clothing store and you could buy an entire suit, the jacket, shoes, pants, belt, everything. Today, what would that $20 bill buy you? You couldn't buy a handkerchief for the $20 bill, but that 1 ounce of gold would still buy you, even today, it would buy you an entire men's suit, shoes, belt, pants, jacket, everything. That's the difference. But today, that change is happening faster than ever.
And we know a guy by the name of Dr. Kirk Elliott that we've known for over 25 years. He has two PhDs.
This is who we're actually using. This is who our friends and family are using. And he's a guy we trust completely. And in today's era, you need somebody you trust. So go to flyovergold.com and learn how to protect yourself against an inflating dollar.
So go to flyovergold.com. You know, we've done some interviews over this last week and a half, 2 weeks, with different people, Laura Logan, Seth Holehouse, just different people talking about preparing yourself in case something happens. Dr. Stella Emanuel, she can feed 1,000 people for months on what she has. And I think it's important that we're aware of that. We're becoming more and more aware of that. I've had an opportunity to speak with some friends that are part of the Flyover family mm-hmm. that are actually ranchers, and they've sent me some information. This particular video was done by Greg Reese. It was 2 years ago, but check it out.
Shad Sullivan, regional director of RCALF USA, is a fifth generation Colorado rancher and recently delivered this message.
Hey everybody, this is Shad Sullivan coming to you from the headwaters of Bitter Creek, Archer County, North Texas. We have to talk. State officials will be assisting to help identify potential alternative markets if a producer is unable to move animals and, if necessary, advise and assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Ladies and gentlemen, we are plowing under vegetable crops from coast to coast. We are euthanizing millions of chickens. We are aborting sows and burying feeder pigs. We are dumping milk by the hundreds of thousands of gallons, and now they are preparing us to depopulate the fat cattle ready to harvest because of a bottleneck created by the effects of COVID. This thing hasn't been created by COVID, but the effects of COVID and the logistics therein. Yesterday, the first shipment of imported beef from the country of Namibia hit the shores of the United States of America. And yet this morning, they are telling us to prepare to euthanize harvest-ready cattle. It is time we get food on the shelves, because if you're not concerned about this food supply problem, you better be. We have a huge supply and demand of food across this nation. We can feed the world ourselves, and yet we're destroying our harvests. At the same time, we are importing beef from other countries, beef that is less regulated than our beef, less safe, not as high quality of product, and yet it's happening. At the same time, they are preparing for us to euthanize our harvests. That doesn't sound like sustainability to me, but it is part of the overall goal to vertically integrate your food system. You see, they cannot have control of the people unless they have control of the food, the water, the land, production. It is time we get back to work. We are of, by, and for the people. This is not Nancy Pelosi's country. This is not Donald Trump's country. This is your country, and you're going to go hungry.
And while American farmers are destroying their harvests, U.S. beef is exported to China. U.S. meat plants are closing at a rapid rate, including Cargill Meat, who supplies 22% of the U.S. meat market, and who partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2018 to end livestock production while expanding the production of genetically modified soy in Africa.
Okay, so that was 2 years ago, but on March the 24th...
Yeah, and little has changed.
Yeah, exactly. March the 24th of 2022, President Biden warned of food shortages due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It's going to be real, he said, of food shortages. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well. Both Russia and Ukraine have been the breadbasket of Europe in terms of wheat, for example, just to give you one example, is what Biden said. Now, we started getting more things from some of the flyover family, and one of them was an article that actually came out on March the 31st of 2022 saying that California wants to pay farmers to not farm this year. This was from the Modern Farmer. It said the state is taking extreme measures to conserve water. That this year, California farmers have been given a financial incentive to not plant crops. Is that crazy?
Well, it's crazy because they're talking on both sides of their mouth. Just this last week, Biden in a press conference said, we are heading into a food shortage.
Yes. So why would they be paying farmers to not plant crops?
See, that it's always in the question. You got to ask the right question. Why?
Yes. So why when you go down in the article and you're like, how did this come about? The plan was privately negotiated between Governor Gavin Newsom's administration and water companies. It was privately negotiated, and the remainder of the money will come from both the state and the federal government.
So they're cutting back on water.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I was shocked to learn when, you know, we lived in California for 3 years, went through a ministry school there, and I was shocked when we traveled the state and do different things. Now, we were way up in the north. We were almost at Oregon. You know, we were the far north end of California, which is no different than like Missouri or anywhere else. People drive pickup trucks and they're farmers and grow stuff. You know, for a lot of you, if you don't spend a lot of time in California, you just picture LA, San Fran.
Not agricultural.
But a lot of what hits your table comes from the state of California.
Yeah.
They're the number one largest dairy producing state in America. I thought it was Wisconsin. Well, the Packers just really promote that really well. There's more dairy products come from California than anywhere else. And there's a lot of debate heading into Trump's presidency and during of what causes forest fires, what causes water shortage, how can they solve these problems? There are a lot of solutions to this that they're not attacking. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to limit the supply that farmers get. And I think there's this idea of, well, I don't care about that. What's that got to do with what's on my plate?
Right. Oh, this is a big deal.
I just want, you know, I can't get any fertilizer from the Ukraine. Well, what difference does that make for me? I'll just go to the store and get more bread. You know, the people are so far removed from the production and growing of something to its consumption.
That's exactly right. And understanding what comes out of Russia, too, and Ukraine with fertilizer, all of these things are going to raise prices on what we are going to be able to do. I mean, you're even looking at, obviously, you saw in that film, you know, they were talking about getting rid of dairy, cows, chickens killed. All of these different things are happening. Why are they doing that?
Well, we were at a restaurant this weekend in Portland on our way to the airport. We stopped at a restaurant that a friend had recommended. Great.
Yep. The food was amazing.
One of their items they had a featured deal is Impossible Beef Burger, and had the trademark there because Impossible Beef, it's a Bill Gates burger. And I asked the waitress, I said, you guys are selling Bill Gates burgers? And she's like, I don't know, man. I just work here, you know? And, but I was shocked because it's just something we've reported on this year of Bill Gates' push to eliminate real beef and go with what's called Impossible Beef and the fake stuff. Only this is from the New York Post, real quick, an article. Did you another ad on that?
Nope.
And we're looking more like Alex Jones all the time with all of our papers.
I know.
We sounding do. More like Alex Jones all the time, too. I'm just like freaking out all the time. You just want to, like, you know, break stuff. But this from the New York Post says looming food shortages is the next slow moving disaster to hit the world. And again, I think all of this is self-induced. You can go on the internet and find clips of Nikita Khrushchev coming to the United States to see how are Americans farming? How do they produce so much? We could produce enough in our own country to export and feed the world. But now we're running into shortages because we've unnecessarily become globally dependent on what's happening. So just read a quick quote from this. Russia is also a major manufacturer of fertilizer. In fact, it's the world's largest. Second on the list is China, a nation that's aligned with Russia now, notably and very unfriendly to the United States and the West. Canada is a third.
Oh, man.
And so, like, we're not even in the mix, okay, on this. The Green Markets North Fertilizer Index, look at this, already fertilizer has jumped 16% in prices since last Friday. Another different type of one that was 22%. Potash, another major ingredient in fertilizer, Russia's the number one producer, has increased 34%. Some of these are coming from Brazil and other places, but we're not able to produce them ourselves. You think, well, fertilizer, what difference does that make? Every few years I get my grass, you know, done. Without fertilizer, corn and wheat yields in the United States would decline by 40%.
Oh, my gosh. So they're paying them not to plant crops. And if they do, they can't even get the fertilizer to be able to do it, which is obviously a major
problem.
Farmers
are struggling. Gas prices going up. The production's going down. This is a collision course that you need to have your head on a swivel and start preparing now for. We're going to be ringing this bell almost every day. Start preparing. A little bit counts right now.
That's exactly right. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Kirk Elliott about the economy and what's going on there.
Well, you saw the jingle there, and it's always an honor to have this episode, because when we travel and we're out and we're at events, the main thing people come up to us and talk about is how thankful they are that they got to meet double PhD, Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Yay! Hey, it's so great to be with you. I'm sorry I missed you in Oregon, but I heard it was a blast.
It was a blast.
Oregon's amazing. It's beautiful. You know, from Kansas City to Seattle, and then, you know, just a, you know, it's only like a 3-hour drive or whatever to Portland. So it was like you barely broke the clouds. And so you get to see it. It's like green Lord of the Rings, Mount Hood, you see poking through the clouds as you land into Portland. And then you get there and you're like, oh, what a beautiful place. So prosperous. But you see the impact of leftist policies, these beautiful wide bike lanes and poop on the street. And nobody wants to go downtown and scared to death. But you get like 5 miles outside of the downtown and it's like, conservatives and they love America and they're excited for their future. They're hopeful to win their state back and all this kind of thing. But there's 5,000 people at the event this week and Eric Trump was with us.
They were fired up.
And I mean, Oregon, it was the fastest sellout, I think, that the Reawaken America tour has had. And they are so excited to get their state back. And we kept walking into people over and over that have had interactions with you, that they've been able to take some of their money and turn it into something tangible. And they all have that same interaction. I just feel so good now.
I love Dr. Kirk. I love his team. I mean, that always that same response.
We're treated so great.
Yep.
So you have a good reputation. People are talking about you behind your back and it's all positive.
That's right.
I love it when people talk behind my back.
Especially when it's positive.
Well, even if it's bad, I guess it's better than to your face. You don't have to hear it.
That's true. Well, I'm so glad. And people are hungry everywhere, especially in states where their freedoms are eroding, right? You're right. They just simply want it back. They want it the way that it used to be. And the progressive agenda has gone too far, right? And people are... Even progressives are saying this has might have gone too far because now we have no money.
Man, that is exactly right.
It's rough.
And I think in places where they can see, you know, maybe in Missouri or some of these places, like, things are changing a little, you know, but somewhere like there where you see like your downtown courthouse be assaulted with fireworks for 100 days straight, you know, and nobody gets arrested, or if they, you know, it's like, oh, wow, these policies really are impacting our world. I'd better protect myself from the people making these policies, and your money is the biggest thing that you got to worry about.
Yeah. No, 100%. So speaking of going too far, I gave Colton the clip that I want to start with. This is a creepy video, and I'm going to explain why it's so creepy. So if you could play it, it's only a couple minutes long, and then I want to talk about it because it's what's coming. It truly is what's coming because the person saying it is Dr. Pippa Malmgren, an advisor to most presidents, a globalist and elitist. And it's not even that they're hiding things anymore. She's saying what's coming and they're proud of it. And so let's watch this clip and then I want to talk about it briefly.
Okay.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we're on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Wow.
So when you hear that, it sounds creepy to me. I mean, some people might think that that's kind of nice. Ooh, a digital currency, blockchain, complete transparency, right? There's no more hiding things, which that's how they're going to spin it. But you got to realize who Pippa is. She's a globalist. She's an elitist. Mm-hmm. Her father was advisor to Nixon. Like she said, she's advised presidents and prime ministers around the world. So one of her favorite topics over the last couple of years has been the upside of COVID, which provides clues to her worldview, right? So here's where what she said is creepy to me, because when you're talking about this new system of currency, it's not Bitcoin, it's not even quantum financial system, it's central banks issuing digital currency. So like a central bank currency unit is basically mm-hmm. what it would be. Instead of a paper dollar, they're going to have these things. Well, these are programmable currencies. What does a programmable currency mean? This is where it gets really scary. So a programmable mm-hmm. currency basically means that they can see what you buy and they can program it based on your spending habits. So central banks will have complete control over you and your money. And so you can only spend it on certain things or in certain places. For example, let's just say you purchased too many guns or too much ammunition over the past month.
You're getting personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they say, okay, David, you purchased too much of that. We're going to reprogram your individual currency unit so you can't buy that stuff anymore. What if there's a healthcare crisis, right? And so cost of insurance is going through the roof or whatever, right? So, and say they find out you really like Taco Bell, right? And so it's like no more fast food for David and Stacey. Or what about clean energy, right? It's like you might have this big old diesel truck and they see that you're driving too much. It's like, okay, we're not going to allow you to buy gas anymore, right? This is what they can do. This is what a programmable currency is. So what's the bottom line? And this is why she said, you need an individual digital currency bill of rights kind of a thing, because this is going to be linked to everyone's personal digital identity. Take this one step further. You can't buy or sell anything unless they like what you're buying or selling.
True.
That's where this leads to, right? And she just stated it. She's not even hiding it anymore. So this great reset that the Klaus Schwabs of the World Economic Forum hinges on two things: the establishment of a global digital currency and a global digital identity for every man, woman, and child. This is why I think this is so creepy, because she said this system is at the door. It's at the door. And to me, this marks the beginning of the end, because nobody's going to be able to allow to be buy or sell anything without becoming digitized, right? Basically, almost like a hybrid human being, right? So can we live outside of that system? It's like, yes, we can. See, gold and silver are things. They're not digital. They're not a certificate. They're outside of that system. It's almost like, get out of the system, right? And so if I were to shout it from the rooftops like I have been for years, and especially lately, right, because of the inflationary pressures, buy all the silver you can, buy all the gold that you can, not just because it's a great investment right now. I mean, just this year alone, silver's up like 17%. It's April.
Wow.
Fantastic investment return, right? But now we're looking at it as, I don't want to be trapped. I don't want people to know that I even bought the gold and silver. So I would buy it before something like this hits. I would, and I've said this a kajillion times if I've said it once, right? It's like, I'd rather be 3 months early than a day late, right? So when she is forecasting and projecting and telling us what's coming, and she's one of them, right? She's a globalist, she's an elitist, saying that this is what's coming, I would jump ship quicker than later, right?
Yeah.
And I would allocate into gold and silver. Not just because of that. I mean, I want to maintain privacy, right? But I also want to participate in the biggest trend that I think this generation is ever going to see. As you see a change in currencies globally, that's going to bring transition. It'll bring chaos, turbulence, turmoil. All of that. Those are the exact things that cause gold and silver to go up. Those are the exact things that cause stock and bond markets to come down. No matter how you look at it, no matter which impulse you are watching, everything is pointing towards higher gold and silver. But now we've added one thing that we've never talked about before, and that's privacy.
Mm.
Because I don't want people to tell me what I can and can't buy.
When she said clarity, you can almost substitute the word control. She said this digital programmable currency will allow us to track every single transaction with increased clarity.
Woo.
You know, and I'm like, increased
control.
Because, you know,
and protection for individuals.
We've been encouraging people for a long time to get out of Wells Fargo, Chase, Bank of America, all those places, and go with a smaller credit union that's locally owned. They're investing in your community. When we 2017, we built a new home, and I was good in this watching these videos about making sure your credit report's right on point before you get your mortgage, making sure everything's great so I get the best rates. It shocked me even then. This was 2017. Bank of America specifically transparently leaks all of your transactions to the reporting agencies, and they track your risk factors based on the purchase you make. So like if you purchase alcohol or you at the grocery store, the kinds of things you purchase when you swipe your card are all reported that increase your likeliness to be able to repay a debt. So they were already saying these are the things this person's buying. If they're buying alcohol, man, they're more likely to have an accident or have something happen or, you know, whatever else. And so it affects your credit report. And I'm like, wow, that was 2017 before this was a conversation. And this lady talked about China already having it with a degree of envy. Like they're a little ahead of us because they already have it, but we're close.
And the whole thing with the individual side of it, you know, almost like a protection for the individuals. When we look at the Constitution now and our free speech and what they're trying to take away from us, there's no way that we can trust our government to protect us against something like that.
They could care less.
No, they could care less. And really where it's headed is the vast majority of people are walking blindly into this digital trap, but they will lose their autonomy over their bodies, having to submit to endless booster shots, as well as their minds. I mean, independent critical thought is going to be banned, right? Traditional-minded Christians and Jews will be banned. Why? Mm-hmm. Because free thought's not going to be allowed in the new digital world. It's like that old Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report, right? Where you're going to get in trouble for what you're thinking about before you even do it, right? I mean, this is the world that we're going into. Control, total information domination is where we're headed.
And think about it right now. If you're watching this video, why aren't you watching this on YouTube? Because we couldn't freely speak on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Okay. You yourself already know this. That's why you're not on that platform hearing what we're saying right now. You had to go somewhere else to hear a non-approved line of thought, a thought crime that the state would not agree with, that they would censor. You can't even hear this conversation on a state approved platform.
Man,
you got to be on Rumble.
So
you got to be on Band.video. You got to be on BitChute. You got to be on one of these other alternative platforms.
So go to flyovergold.com. When you get there, it's a landing page. There's all kinds of great information. But as you scroll down, you can fill out your information. And someone from Dr. Kirk's team who everybody loves. I mean, truly, everywhere that we go, we're like, oh, they love Dr. Kirk. They love the team. They're going to get a hold of you. They're going to answer your questions. And so it's important that you fill out this information. You can also call them as well and get your questions answered. Just call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900. One last question I have for you, Dr. Kirk, before we let you go. You'd mentioned that silver's up, did you say 17%? This year,
yeah.
Is it still a good purchase at this point? You know, I had conversations with some people over the week in silver, gold, what's better? Is that still a good purchase at this time?
Yeah, it's a great question because people say, have I missed the boat, right? I don't want to buy high and have to sell low. You always have to look at, when you're answering that question, what are the fundamentals that cause its growth? Inflationary pressures, political chaos, geopolitical conflict, and unsustainable debt. Do we have all of those yet? Are any of those changing anytime real soon? No, they're not. I don't see them going away. So I think silver is going to continue to go up for years to come. But we probably won't have it that long because at some point it's going to really accelerate, peak out, and then we'll lock in those profits, roll them into gold, and then gold will actually outpace silver at some point. But this is what we watch for every one of our clients. When it's time to buy, sell, reallocate, get out of Dodge, make sure you're in the right place at the right time. The majority of the time, that's what we're good at.
Yep.
I'm not good at some things. Don't ask me anything mechanical. Don't ask me to fit your chart or paint your ceiling because I'm afraid of height. I am. But when it comes to financial stuff, it's what I was created for. Really good at that kind of stuff. So we would love to help everybody that we possibly can. Just give us a call. Tell us David and Stacy sent you. But just call. Take that leap of faith and call. And we'll take good care of you and get you out of the path of this hurricane. And what looks to be what's coming down the road is complete loss of freedom financially, where you might not even be able to buy or sell. Anybody who's read the Bible knows what this is leading to, right? And so let's get out of the system with something that's private, portable, has value, that's not a digit. It's not a digit.
Amen.
Man.
That is great. So go to flyovergold.com today or call 720-605-3900. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirk, for your time. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
See you back here next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is Stacy.
And I'm David. We're the hosts of the Flyover Conservative Show.
If you're new to the show, our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. We all wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. But we here at Flyover are trying to inspire 80 million people to do one thing every single day to save their own country.
And we're really excited to tell you about an incredible opportunity for you, the Flyover family.
We at Flyover Conservatives value truth and want to be able to speak the truth without consideration of what platform we're on at the moment. That is why we are joining Locals.
Locals is an uncensored platform with zero influence coming in from sponsors, meaning there's no big brother watching over your shoulders, waiting on you to commit some sort of a thought crime.
So you may be asking, what will we be doing differently?
Well, on Locals, you'll be able to do all the same stuff. You'll enjoy our nightly show, but instead of having to wait until the weekend drop of the anticipated long-form interviews with special guests, you'll be given early access.
No more waiting all week. You will actually be the first to enjoy. David and I are also doing local-only live streams, behind the scenes, and question and answers.
So find us today on Locals and join the Flyover family. We're looking forward to seeing you and building a community together.
We'll see you over at Locals. So make sure you get a hold of Dr. Kirk. Go to flyovergold.com or call 720-605-3900. Man, we are so glad that you're with us tonight. We bless you. We bless you to realize you were born for such a time as this. We bless you to realize that your future is brighter than your past. And we bless you to wake up, speak up, and show up. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacy Whited. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.